Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatum Kritam Matir Brahman. Varakam raktam asita ubalebhe vidavam kim putaram baya vivalam. As soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dwaraka, he saw Uttara hurrying toward him in fear. Purport. All the members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent on the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected all of them in all circumstances. The Lord protects everyone, but one who depends completely upon him is especially looked after by the Lord. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadhamayam Tasdati Sapadantitam Adadanastanam Dante Idam Yapche Puna Puna Srimad Rupakadam Boja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yun Bhakti Rasam Kayatnai Apayamamana Bipsamandam Kupam Buhiya Paradrupa Druki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kota Tarujasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayedracha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivastade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Albany, where I'll be doing a program today. I like to share with you sometimes some of the preaching that I'm doing. Just everybody make sure that they mute their phone. Another thing, which I'll ask Ruthie later, I don't know why the bells don't register anymore when someone comes on the Sangha. It's kind of used to be enlivening to me to hear the little bells, know people are coming on. Before I continue this, I've been doing a little preaching tour, and yesterday and the day before, really interesting. Sometimes I would go I went to David Davis' house, or I go to Gita Nagari, and there's an older couple that occasionally comes there, and they would come to my classes. You know, maybe the last couple of years I noticed that. And they asked me if I would come to their home. The man, I think his name is Hema Gori, and his wife. His wife is originally from Germany, Orchard. He's 73, and he's a retired professor from George Washington University, which is one of the most prestigious universities, at least in Washington. And he was a professor of sculpture. So when he retired, he needed your retirement is not that much, and he wanted to live more cheaply with him and his wife. But at the same time, and it was becoming more and more expensive in that area with the taxes, so he thought, let us move near to Gita Nagari, and we can get a cheaper house And they also needed a big house because his sculptures are very, very big. They're very, very beautiful. He does these sculptures of a fascination with samurai warriors. So he does these full-size sculptures out of resin and wood, you know, with all the regalia. And there's one, it's like a huge, you know, horse made out of wood, ready for battle with the full-size warrior. So he has all these. So he needed a big place, so he somehow found in one small town about 45 minutes from Devanagari called Shippensburg, and it has a university, you know, probably 5,000 people in the street, you know, typical America, little main street. He found, and you know, I guess relatively not expensive, like something like $300,000, this huge 16-room old house. I can tell what they're called. They have these towers on one side. They almost look like castles. And in the back of the house is also like a carriage house, which is also enough room for his art studio besides that, and to rent out an apartment to these people who are there. And the amazing thing about this house, I'll tell you about the preaching there. Amazing thing about this house is they had this, you know, circle driveway where the place used to be called Rocky Knoll, and it has Govardhan Hill. It's the same stones. It's like really amazing. It has like Govardhan Hill, and you know, when you come into the left side of the house, you kind of circumambulate this. Beautiful. It just look. I probably, if you went on a search that I wanted to have a house that looks like Govardhan Hill, probably in all America you wouldn't find a place like this. And also, it has a path through the rocks like Dangati, which is the same place in Govardhan that I stay. It's by Dangati. Anyway, it's just a beautiful house. His wife is very together and organized, and you know, it's one of those houses, double doors and this high ceiling and this three stories, and you come in and there's a drawing room. And obviously, they're Americans, and some of the years they have furniture for all the rooms and chandeliers and antiques. And they have also a little beautiful temple room in the house. And then on the second floor, you know, they have another living room on the second floor and different rooms and libraries, and each person. And on the top is guest rooms, and you know, and for his art, you know, that's what he's been doing. He's been fixing it up. And good combination, an artist and a German wife. So you get the creativity and the cleanliness and discipline in the same. But the point is, you know, so they're coming, and I don't think they ever greeted so they're a little nervous greeting with Sebastian. They wanted to do what you do when you greet a Sebastian. I said, okay, we'll have a program. I said, fine. And then they were a little bit nervous when I found out, because they thought a program means they have to invite all the devotees from Devanagari, you know. And I said, no, let's have a program. The program would be as you invite your friends. Because they live in a town, and there's a university, there's some type of intellectual community, because when a professor has to get a job, he has to go anywhere. Mahamuni could wind up, who knows, in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. And there's a joke about Pennsylvania. Someone said, what's Pennsylvania? It's Pittsburgh and Philadelphia with Alabama in between. So, but it's also, it's very quaint, too, because somehow the Mennonites and the Amish also, they're very, you know, they're expanding. And then they want more land, so they move near there. So you see, like, you know, sometimes the buggies on the street and things. But the point is, it was such an enlivening program because, you know, who those people are and how they present themselves make a wonderful bridge for Americans who the facade or presentation of modern-day Gaudiya Vaishnavism would not be attractive, even if the substance could be delivered. So it created such a nice, you know, and they were happy, and their friends came, and the program was a little different. You know, they said, can we do this? I said, whatever you want, you do. I'll just speak. You do it according to your friends. I said, okay, we'll have have dinner first. So there was a dining room with a nice wood table that he got from his grandmother, and he said when he was a child he used to crawl under it, and these old houses, the type of wood that on the doors, that it's quite aesthetic. The windows, the shutters. I mean, they also spent money fixing it up. But I always tell the story when I came back from India after being there for like 5 years or something. When I first came, my father took me to the supermarket, and when he took me to the supermarket, it was the first time that you could register the items, you just touch it, you get the pan of soup and you just touch it and it registers automatically from the label. Where when I grew up, we had a grocer with a pencil in his ear and he wrote it on a paper bag and he had pride that he could add it himself, and then the cashier came. So when I saw it, I got surprised and I said, wow, things have really advanced. And then I caught myself and I looked at the cashier and I said, but the quality of life hasn't improved yet. Yeah. But when I saw this old house, I realized, things are not advancing in America. The Kali Yuga means everything is reduced, including Dravya, which means material, in terms of the fruits, the vegetables, but even the quality of living. When you see, the house, the quality, the houses today are just such junk. But the quality of wood and it was set up that way, and they invited six friends. And, one was a person 68, a professor of literature, used to be in Rochester Institute of Technology, but then his wife, when he retired, she's a little bit younger, got a job here. And he went there and he told me, even in a small town, there's an intellectual community, so, we managed to make do, and it's quite nice, and we've met friends here, he told me. And I was looking at the guy, I'll get to the philosophy, but my storytelling is there. He was 68, he was Jewish, he was from Flatbush, and I kept on looking at the guy, and he was telling jokes. He was a very friendly guy, and very intelligent. And I was just saying, who? And at the end, when it was all finished, I said, who he exactly reminded me of? Woody Allen. I was saying today. And his wife was a professor of communications. And then there were two young people. The girl, her father was posted someplace else. I figured out it was a CIA agent in Germany. But anyway. And her, very motive goodness people. And for another college about, 30 minutes away, they ran the farm. The college had a farm. And then there was this guy, middle America, he was a salesman and his wife. Somehow became six people. And then a godbrother of mine named Haridas, his wife Nanda Putney, who initially introduced this couple to Krishna consciousness, they came. Haridas is a PhD in pastoral counseling. So it was a nice group. And, they took dinner, and they did it so intelligently. They didn't, because they knew that I have to lecture. They didn't give seconds, really. They just had this soup, and then they had a plate with an anchoa, well, I forgot what it's called, Mexican. Forgot the names, but anyway. And then they had a simple dessert, and people sat around the table talking. This is what you do in America. And And then we went upstairs to a living room upstairs that had couches, and then I gave my lecture on the psychology of karma in a very informal way. And, it's just confirms again that the teachings that we've gleaned from Prabhupada, they're very profound. And my theme now that I've been trying this lecture and outreach is that, people have a frame of reference, especially progressive people. They must be somewhat progressive to come or be friends with these people. And these people don't hide that they're Hare Krishnas. Although, it's a town of 5,000 people, there's 360 churches, it's a conservative place. But, again, just understanding people's frame of reference. People understand truth to a certain degree. And when they become inspired when they hear a lecture is if someone has a higher perception of truth and can communicate that to them. People understand you should be selfless. People understand you should be tolerant. They understand something. And people have a particular samskara background of cultivating knowledge through many lives, and they understand something, especially progressive people. If you work through their frame of reference and explain a law of karma, you know, which makes sense, that there's reactions, particular type, you know, I present it as I try to explain egoism as material consciousness and how the law of karma works to counteract egoism. So it's a reasonable concept, and they think about it. And the you know, the appreciation comes, people feel indebted, and afterwards you can see how people want to talk with you, they want to be with you, they shake your hand. Even this wife of the salesman, Haridas, was watching her through the lecture and her head was shaking. It was almost like after everything I was saying, she was saying, amen, hallelujah, you know, appreciating it. But, and Orchard and Hemagori were so, because they said, you know, afterwards when people hang around and talk and they don't want to leave, and so, I could see, so I didn't know what it was going to be like. I scheduled one day, but I saw if I just stayed, the people would have definitely come to see me because, you know, some of them were, most of them, they retired, and, you know, it was just, there's so much opportunity now, especially among my generation. People, my age, there's so much opportunity, providing you can provide a non-confrontational environment with, I guess it helps that you're not representing a religious institution, but a school of thought. It was really, and even this Jewish guy was a very nice guy, and he had been to India. Stayed 4 months at Benares Hindu University with some project or something else, and you know, just wanted to talk afterwards, and he asked me if I was going to be around. But he even told like a good joke at the end, because I was trying to explain that the one way that you free yourself from karma is there's ways to counteract it, and I explained the range of counteracting karma. But another thing that I explained was interesting is how your attitude, there's different ways. One is your self-discipline, which allows you to react to things in an intelligent way, which can change the course of your destiny, obviously. Your destiny is to be sick, and if you have self-discipline, you don't need, and then the destiny doesn't carry out in the same way as if you just gorge yourself. So there's different ways. The one way is attitude and consciousness, and I was talking about that. So he told me kind of a joke. It was great having the guy there, you know. And the other thing is that people, because I did this program in Washington with 50 people come to. One thing about America is, you know, you'd be surprised in the yoga scene or whatever, people believe in God. America is a country where people have a natural propensity to believe in God, regardless of what you think the media says or, you know, but it's common people, they believe in God. And, and I see, too, that the people, you know, the people that come to these things, they're pious in their own way. You meet very good-natured people who have some spiritual development, at least in terms of consideration and kindness and openness. So it was very enlivening for me to see the receptivity. I don't know, maybe the joke will come off or not. So this guy tells this Jewish joke to confirm one of my points, that it depends on attitude. So he describes that this Jewish guy goes to heaven, and you know, before he goes, he tells God, before I go, I want to know what it's like. He said, it's incredible here, God tells him. You don't have to eat. You don't have to go to the bathroom. know what else he told me? You don't have to eat. You don't have to go to the bathroom. And you can study Torah all day. So the Jewish guy says, okay, he said, well, you know, I would like a choice. But what's hell like? And then he said, God said, hell? He said, hell? You don't eat, you don't go to the bathroom, and you study Torah all day. So I thought it was kind of funny. It was just, you know, it's the same thing. It's just the attitude you have towards it. I don't know, maybe my upbringing, I get the joke more. I can't see if anybody does, but I have an Indian audience. I don't know. They're smiling. I don't know if they're smiling because they understand the joke or they're just Indians and they want to be kind to me and appreciate. But, okay, well, anyway, that's enlightening, you know. And right, so, like, you know, I just see. I mean, even a place like Eden-Ogery, I mean, if you can get it together, you can have all little towns. There are people there. There are people there. I could see bringing these people forward in spiritual life, you know, what it will externally amount to. But, and the salesman's wife, she said, you know what? She said, and it just shows you the power of Prabhupada's movement. She said, oh, you're a Hare Krishna. She said, we went on vacation to Europe and we came out in Florence and we saw this big parade with these huge chariots. And then she said, then I came to New York, and we got to New York before we drove back to Pennsylvania. We went to Fifth Avenue, she said, and we saw this big parade with chariots. And then this Hema Gori, who's, you know, 73 years old, and his wife said, we were in that parade. Okay, that took a long time, half the class. I don't know. I want to get to the philosophy here. So we're in Queen Kunti's prayers, and, you know, there's different themes in the section. I was wondering, you know, the people who listen regularly, what will they get from these classes? And really, in each section, it's almost like I want people to get one point, even if I lecture for 3 months. And not just, you know, theoretical understanding, but some realization of this point. And, of course, in that Narada Muni story, you learn the glories of Sadhu Sangha, which means the glories of Sadhu Sangha, which means the process of chanting and hearing, and how it's the basis of the Bhagavata, and it's the basis of our spiritual life. We should do it. We should pray for it. And I hope that message sank in. And I'm seeing now in this section that's coming up, with Queen Kunti and Bhishma Dev, and in Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet, he divides it into these sections, really. It's Krishna and his devotees. Because we have to become devotees. And to become devotees, we have to love Krishna. And we love someone who is loving. We love people who are persons, not impersonal. We love people who are personal, and Krishna is personal. And we see his reciprocation with his devotees. And that makes us want to love Krishna. And then we see his devotees. We see the mind of devotees and the prayers of Queen Kunti and in their deeds and their words, and it makes us want to be a devotee. So we're observing this, and in this particular chapter, it's after the Battle of Kurukshetra, and after they had just banished Ashvatthama, and we saw that exchange between Krishna and Arjuna and the Pandavas. Krishna has been introduced to us. He's serving his devotee. You know, really, when we come to Krishna consciousness, what we really should want is we should want, ultimately, a deep, eternal, satisfying, loving relationship. Because, Nate, that's the real duty and nature of the soul. So we explore this. This is what we want. And this is what ultimately exists. Rasa Vaisaha. This is reality. Reality is loving exchange. There's God, and that's what God chooses to do, and that's what ultimately exists. God and his devotees in that loving exchange. So we see here what's Krishna doing. Well, he has relationship with all these devotees in the war. Right? He's related to them. He's related to Arjuna. Arjuna is his cousin. Related to the Pandavas. Related to Kunti. So Krishna has this relationship. So he's gone to the funeral and he's pacifying them by describing basically karma. The stringent laws of nature, you know, why things happen and how we have to respond to them. And it's a very, very fine point. You know, there's a, you know, the heart, you pacify someone both, you can't just by the intellect and by the heart. It's a very fine thing. Someone asked me this question, a great question, when I was in the Shippensburg place. And, but I was discussing that, and, you know, can you just pacify someone by philosophy? Well, it's a combination of both. And I described, even in our line, when a great acharya leaves, intellectually, it's a glorious thing because this, you know, Nitya Lila Pravishna, he enters into Nitya Lila. Samadhi, he's with Krishna. So from an intellectual perspective, the acharya leaving is not a tragedy. It's a moment of glory. And I felt both when Prabhupada left. I was in the room because I tried to relate the feeling I had at the time to something like a common frame of reference. And practically, when Prabhupada left the room and that kirtan was just, you know, going, and Bhakti Trumaraj was behind Prabhupada like an angel with his hands folded, kind of looking. I almost envisioned that there was no roof on the building. And the Prabhupada was ascending, of course he was in Vrindavan, to the spiritual world, and the kirtan sounded like almost like Handel's Messiah, you know, some kind of music. Dun, 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 you know, like some kind of triumphant type thing. But, you know, there was such separation that devotees were also, you know, collapsing practically in tears. So, you know, it's both. And therefore, when a great soul leaves, they wait 11 days before they have the mahotsav. Because the separation from that soul, the heart feeling, and then after that, it can be the so it. So, but anyway, somehow or other, Krishna is pacifying them sometime after, explaining the laws. And then we'll constantly see here Krishna's departure and the sentiment that devotees have. Because when you love someone and they leave, then your feelings are aroused. We'll see the feelings of the devotees. So Krishna's leaving, and then he's sitting himself on the chariot, and the acharyas say he's with Uddhava. Naturally, that's his confidant, and Satyaki. I don't know why that particular person is here. And we see, as soon as he sits himself on the chariot to start the dwarka, then Uddhava comes towards him in fear. So it's going to be interesting, her fear. Her fear is, she's not an ordinary person. Obviously, the mother of Maharaj Brihat, daughter-in-law of Arjuna. She's not an ordinary person, but obviously her child. That's a natural reaction. There's certain emotions for yourself that do not decry pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is described anya-bilashita-shunyam. But it's not anya-bilash-shunyam. Shunyam means without any desires. Anya-bilashita, that ta means ness, without desires, that without desireness. Almost. It means without desires, you should be without desires that are not integral with the soul, with your being. You can have desires, but they shouldn't be against the nature of the soul. I'll give you an example. I mean, a devotee has to go to the bathroom. He may be a pure devotee, and he may say, I have to go to the bathroom. Someone says, oh, you're selfish.
you know, it's not a core integral desire. It's some incidental, or someone may be in danger and say, help me, help me, help me. Oh, why are you selfish? You're asking for yourself. So that word, ta, I don't know the exact Sanskrit, it indicates that you should be without desires. You should be without desires that are, you know, not integral to the soul. Something I can't explain. You should be without desires, but if you have desires, and those desires are not integral in your motivation and your being, and they're incidental, they're not against bhakti. So for her to pray in fear that her embryo is going to be aborted is not against bhakti. And in that fear, obviously, that she approaches Krishna. And that's also part of Sharanagati, that you have faith that Krishna will do what's best, but you know, Krishna is the protector of the devotee. And here the point is he protects everyone, but one who depends on him completely is specially looked after. And that's going to be one of the themes of this story. And it's a very brilliant point that Prabhupada will make, that Krishna is more inclined for Kunti, his aunt, than Devaki, his own mother. He protects her more. He gravitates towards her more. Why? Because Devaki has the protection of Vasudeva, but Kunti has lost her husband. So somehow Kunti is more in need of shelter. And Krishna, as a person, reciprocates. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, which I study and I quote often, when they discuss Sharanagati, surrender, Krishna's reciprocation, it mentions, is there according to the degree of surrender. The degree that you take shelter, Krishna responds. That's natural. And therefore, you know, it's one of the main themes of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is a person, and he reciprocates the love of his devotee, and that reciprocation does not make him partial. It's natural. And Prabhupada says here, the father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. Samaham sarvabhuteshu, nanei dveshasthani, I'm equal to everyone, I don't hate life, but I favor my devotee. Prabhupada says that type of favor, that type of reciprocation, and favor to those who take shelter of you, is the opulence of personality. Not the defect of personality. So, and we'll see, Krishna protects his devotees, and then Uttara, she has no other shelter really. And we'll see, and that's her love. Uttara, famous verse, Pahi, Pahi, Mahayogam, protect me, Deva, Deva, Jagatpate, protect me, O Lord of the universe, or greatest of the mystics, Nanyam, there is no other but you, Kutabhayam, Pashe, that I see, that can protect me. Protect me from this fear. You shut the door, someone else is coming in. In this world of what? Nityu and death. No one can protect you but Krishna, she understands, in this world of death. Because ultimately, if you really understand the identity that dies or is temporary is the identity of being controller and the enjoyer. Because when something's a dream, it's temporary. The real identity, I am the servant of Krishna, is eternal. And you only realize that when you surrender to Krishna. When you surrender to Krishna, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya Mamaviye Papadyante Mayane. When you surrender to Krishna, because the energy, the divine energy of the modes of material nature is only affecting you. It's the illusory potency. It's only putting you in illusion to satisfy your desire not to be a devotee. If you don't want to be a devotee, which you are, Krishna has to put you in the illusion you're not the devotee, and that's the body. The body acts selfishly, the impulses of the body. And you identify with the body. And therefore, because it's a temporary identification, because it's not really you, it doesn't satisfy you, but it's also full of fear, because the body is matter, and matter is constantly transforming. So if you think that you're that combination of matter, it's a temporary manifestation, and therefore it's not real. The elements are real, but the combination is not real. And therefore it's fearful, nasate vidyate bhavo, nibhavo vidyate. That which is temporary is not real. And that which is real is eternal. So it saves you from this what? Nityu, papa, aparasparam, the world of duality and death and fear. Protect me from that. I'm in this world. And Prabhupada says, in the dual world, everyone is trying to become master of the world. Where in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord, and all others are his absolute servitors. That's an eternal position. That's who you are. And when you perform devotional service regularly and act on that platform, you become fearless. Because you begin to identify with the eternal soul. When you serve Krishna and you become attached to serving Krishna, that identity as Krishna's servant is eternal. If you live in the world of duality by trying to be the enduring controller, you are full of fear because you're constantly threatened with non-existence. In the world of duality, everyone is envious of others, and death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. Dual existence. You're spirit, but you identify with matter. You're fearful. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness of the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. So just see the mind of these devotees. Krishna, Krishna. Pahi, Pahi, Mahayogin. Deva, Deva, it's said with Bhav. Krishna, Krishna, Pai, Pai, Mahayoga, Nanya, none of you can save me. And we're seeing, this is why I feel this section will be relishable, will associate with the devotees. Abhi, Bhavati, Mam, Isha, Saras, Tapta, Yasho, Vivo, Kaman dahatu bam nata ma me garbo napatyatam. O Lord, you all-powerful, a fiery iron is coming towards me fast. That is frightening. Because the Brahmashtra is directed towards one particular person. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor. So she's asking a favor for the Lord. But the favor she's asking is not for herself. Because her husband died, Abhimanyu, and she would enter the fire. Because the pain of her husband's death is greater than the pain of dying herself. So dying is less pain than living in absence of her husband. She was a chaste wife in that time. So why does she live? Only for the child. She lives only for the child. So she's asking a favor for the Lord, but it's natural because she's taking this responsibility, not her own desire. Or if it's her desire, it's one of these incidental desires, that protection, that she, her responsibility. It's real. Uttara, was not ashamed to explain this, frankly, before Lord Krishna. Uta was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero, and a student of a great devotee. And later she was the mother of a good king also. She was fortunate in every respect. So Sutta is describing this. Sutta Uvacha. Upadaya vichastasya bhagavan bhakta vatsala pandavam vidam kartum dranir astram abhudita. Sutta Goswami said, having patiently heard her words, Lord Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate to his devotees, could at once understand that Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, has thrown the Brahmastra to finish the last life in the Pandava. So this is, again, he was humiliated, and now he's, again, drew the Brahmastra weapon. Again. So this is Lila of pastimes. Somehow they let him go, and still he had his memory. He's humiliated, but he fled his memory and some of his power, and he released it again. And Krishna is affectionate, Bhakta Vatsala. He's affectionate to his devotees. He reciprocates with his devotees. And therefore, he was vowed not to take up a weapon. He'll take up the weapon again. Love rules. Love is more important than the rules. That's, you really have love. It says, one with love, bhakti, he can move blindly without slipping. Askalanam. Without slipping, he can move blindly with love. Like Lord Chaitanya. He was in praying. But somehow, he didn't know where he was going, but he wound up in the right place. You have that love, that devotion. It said, without slipping. Blind. What's blind? Shruti, Smriti. You don't know Shruti, you don't know Smriti, but you actually have love, you'll move in the right place. So, Krishna, out of love, that's the highest thing. It can't be done cheaply, but he's even breaking his vow. And, you know, in those days, when someone took a vow, look at Bhaktivedanta, he said, I will give you my son. Kamsa said, okay, you can live. And then Vasudeva didn't say, okay, now let's get out of town. they were so trained in Dharma. I mean, you know, people gave their word, ooh, that's it. They were trained like that. But Krishna's inclined to his devotees, but he's inclined to his devotees for another reason. Because he needed his devotees to rule the world. We need it. To rule the world, we need to be Mahabhagavat. It's just so clear that whenever you're managing something, it's hard to satisfy everyone. So even we see in a temple, someone is a leader. You've got to be expert. You've got to be very expert to satisfy everyone, especially Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and confusion. You know, and people, for one mistake, they're ready to hang someone. And, you know, they're ready to hang the president for one mistake, and the president is ready to hang everyone else for one mistake. And, you know, I see that. And to satisfy, says that Mahabhagavan satisfy everyone. So he wanted the Mahabhagavan to rule the world. He wanted them to rule the world. Marge Pickett was described before, there was nothing lacking in his administration. As opposed to there was nothing good in his administration. Which we sometimes experience these days somehow. Then he says, Paryavata Muni Shrestha. He's talking to Shonaka. Pandava Pancha Sayakam Atmano Vimokan Diptan Alaksha Shlan Vipadadu. Oh, foremost among the great thinkers, Shonaka, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. So, this Brahmastra was discharged. One inside to get the Pandavas, to get friction, and one outside for the Pandavas. So it was so powerful. And still, Krishna's there, they pick up the weapons. But ultimately, it's got to be counteracted by Krishna through Sudarshan. They really, I was just thinking, well, why they pick up the weapons? Krishna's there with the Sudarshan. I always remember the story that Radhanath Swami, so as Radhanath Swami told me, when he used to live, before he became an ISKCON devotee, before he joined Prabhupada, he lived on, what a special soul. He lived on Mankutir, the Parva, the hill of Radharani. And there's one Baba that's been living there for like 50 years, so many years, 30 years, 40 years. So at that particular time, there was like a python living there, and it was just so scorpions, and it was so dangerous, tigers, and you know, it was a very dangerous. They would sleep outside, and Radhanath Swami saw, you know, Radhanath, sorry, can we sleep outside? And Radhanath Swami said, don't worry, Krishna will protect you. Radhanath Swami said, okay, Krishna, Radharani will protect us. So they're sleeping outside. And then one day he saw Ramesh Baba and keeps this little stick by his side. And Radhanath Swami says, well, if Krishna is going to Radharani to protect us, why is he carrying this little stick by his side? So he asked him, well, you know, if Radharani is going to protect us, why are you carrying that stick by your side? And Ramesh Baba says, yes, Radharani will protect us, but we have to do our part. That little stick. So the almighty personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Yasanam Vikshya Atte Sham Ananya Vishyatmanam Sudarshanena Swastrena Svanam Raksham Yabhad Vibhu. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotees who were fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. So Krishna reciprocating with, he loves his devotees. And part of his lila is to reciprocate with his devotees. He's going to protect them. So Prabhupada writes, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has clearly promised that his devotees are never to be vanquished. He behaves according to the quality or degree of the devotional service rendered by the devotee. You reciprocate. If someone, if you give shelter to someone to the degree that they take shelter of you. If you take shelter of Krishna, he fully protects you. And here the word ananya vishayatmanam, there's no other means. No other means. I'm inclined for no other type of shelter. And this is the Ananya Gati Twam. The devotee realized there is no other shelter. It's Krishna, and Krishna is the only shelter. Because ultimately, the only shelter is our eternal relationship with Krishna. That's reality. Anything else than that is temporary and filled with duality and fear. The Pandavas were 100% dependent on the protection of the Lord, although they were great warriors themselves. You know, I used to go around and invite Prabhupada's disappearance day some of the senior Vaishnavas. So I went to Srila Narayan Maharaj to invite him. He's shy. He didn't want to see how he felt what I say. And then I had a discussion. He said, well, the thing that I really used to remember about Prabhupada, he said, I used to come to his room and sit on it, was next to me. And, he's so poor after he left family life. And he had a quilt, and it had all kinds of holes in it, so he had to put his uttariya, his top piece, to cover it. But he said, Prabhupada was especially fond of talking about the Pandavas. How, although they ruled the world, they were kinshana gotra. They had the conception of non-possessiveness, that everything belonged to Krishna. So wonderful. This is Prabhupada talking. So, our Pandavas, but the Lord neglects even the greatest warriors and also vanquish them in no time. You know, you're not sheltered, then you're in a world of duality. You'll be vanquished automatically. Although the Kurukshetra was almost finished, still according to his vow, he should not have taken up his weapon. But the emergency was more important than his vow. He was better known as Bhaktivatsal, the lover of devotees, unless he preferred to continue as Bhaktivatsal and be a worldly moralist and never break his vow. That's a higher principle. You have to be very careful to be at that level. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. So he covers the embryo, protects Marge Prickett. And he reciprocates with Prickett, his devotee, by appearing in this little form. He appears in the form to the devotee. I think it's described 6 inches in the heart. Marge Prickett sees that. He becomes Prickett, the examiner. Because there, once you experience some strong experience, materially or spiritual, it creates an impression in the heart that you seek to fill with the same thing that caused that experience. That's why it's so unfortunate when you're young, if you're deluged with sense gratification, because it'll create irrational desires in you. To fulfill, you put the kid by a television and he gets some joy when he's young. In his whole life, he's always going to want to do that. And then he becomes addicted. And then until he undergoes some process, any addiction, not to speak of taking drugs and sex life. So what was his impression? This is the impression that we should give children. It's the impression that Prabhupada had when he was young. Father wanted to be a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. His impressions are so strong. I was talking to Raghunath, my disciple, yesterday. It was a very nice preaching in Washington, in L.A., and also becoming strong in his spiritual practices. So he has his daughter, Sachi. So he's so proud. He brings her to the temple. And she stands in the front and does the Swami step and looks at the deities. And so he's feeling, yes, this is my responsibility. But if she's getting a taste for that, if those impressions can be put in the heart, how fortunate for a young child. Oshonika, although the supreme Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama was irresistible without a check or count, it was neutralized and foiled and confronted by the strength of Lord Vishnu. I just want to start with Kunti's prayers, the next class. I'm just going to read the verses. Probably start it. O Brahmana, do not think this to be especially wonderful in the activities of the mysterious an infallible personality of Godhead. By his own transcendental energy, he maintains and annihilates all material things, although he is himself unborn. So don't think this is amazing, like the sun
drying up a drop of dew, Borijango. I don't know where he got that. It's nothing for the Supreme Lord. Don't think this is amazing. Do you know who he is? And therefore, we should take full protection of him. You think your problems and your difficulties and everything so big, Krishna will protect. Ultimately, the protection has to be on level of soul. But save from the radiation, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord and of the Lord, have five sons of Jyoti, address the Lord as he started for home. So we'll start next week. We'll speak of these wonderful prayers. Kunti, we'll see the bhav of the devotees that we want. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
Yeah, I had a couple of quick ones, actually. I was wondering if it was accurate to say that a desire can be called incidental if the only reason, because you're saying, you know, like asking for protection for your life, you know, if the only reason why you're asking for the fulfillment of the desire is to do your service to Krishna.
That's good. It's a desire for service of Krishna. It's certainly not a selfish desire. Right, so you know, things with the body, I guess, incidental there. I guess there are things that are just, you know, when you're embodied, that are such, they're part of the self-preservation. You know, let's say the body is needed to service of Krishna, and there are certain desires in the body for its maintenance and protection that will come automatically. And you know, as long as it's not your motive and not your goal, having them is not against pure devotional service. I gave one simply going to the bathroom, you know, but I mean, when they're, you know, self-protection. Yeah, so it's related like that, yes. What else, Gail?
Yeah, I was just wondering who, I mean, I probably won't know the king's name anyway, but if, the father of Uttara and the devotee that she was a student of?
I don't know. Uttara, do you know? The father of Uttara? Anyway, if anybody knows the Mahabharata, they can say that, the technicalities.
Devotee also.
Right. I'll have to look it up. But I haven't done this in a while. But I remember there was a purport where her position was described as almost greater than any of the other ladies mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So there's something special about her. Uttara, perhaps the name. Anyway, if anybody knows, they can do that. Otherwise, we'll look it up and we'll try to say it next class. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Gail. What else?
No, that's it. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
This is Rafi Gyal from Austin.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I don't exactly have a question, but I just wanted to say how much I appreciate your telling about your preaching activities. As well as the philosophy, because it's really so important to hear, you know, different ways of addressing, you know, more progressive people or, and just simple ways like that.
Mm.
And understanding how powerful that can be and not being so anxious to go too far ahead too fast, but just with very simple points and you know, I was thinking how patience is such an important quality.
Good, yeah.
In preaching, so I just wanted to really thank you for sharing that. It's just as nectar as the philosophy itself.
Well, it was so enlivening to me, Rasika. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Enlivening to hear it.
I like staying in that house. I don't know what that means, but yeah, everything was so tastefully done. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so clean, the whole house and how it was, you know, and
the people that came, but also it showed that, you know, we really have something to give by the way those people were listening, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, even, actually, they took that professor who I said, you know, somehow I thought, do I know this guy before? Then I remembered from the past. Exactly like Woody Allen. He had the accent, the voice. He was a very nice man. And I just remembered that this Hema Gori and his wife said to him, they said, look, we want to take you to this festival. So they took them, they took them to Ratha-yatra in Gita Nagari, right? Of course, here is this distinguished professor that came to a Ratha-yatra in Gita Nagari asking anybody to talk to you. He said, no, just Hema Gori, you know? He was like a distinguished man, you know, he had like a nice gray beard, you know, and he looked progressive. He had like his gray hair kind of tied back in a ponytail, so it kind of looked like a chica, you know.
Yeah.
But it was so nice, and he said, you know, he told me, he said, oh man, there were so many people there, you know. And he really was excited about it. And so, oh, there were so many people there. And he said, and then they served this food. It was great. And they had it in big cooking pots, you know, big pots. And, you know, he appreciated, you know, really what we had. And I told them that he gave this person a Bhagavad Gita, and he was studying it. And he wanted to have discussion. I saw that all these people were spiritually evolved. They were so receptive.
Yeah.
And just with association, you know, they would definitely come forward in spiritual lives.
But
what are you going to say?
The important thing is, though, creating that atmosphere, which you very detailedly kind of described, which I appreciated, is creating an atmosphere where they actually feel safe and comfortable to share.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Their feelings and realizations. So, like, you know, you're not kind of like, I mean, like the Top Gun. I mean, you are, but yet you're not.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, when the speaker is there, but the speaker makes everyone feel...
Right. They listen to me, and the way we set up, I had my own little, I had my own chair, and, you know, and then there were couches around that people were sitting, so there was a slight distinction, but not overly done.
That's what I mean.
And they were sitting in the couches, and also I, like the professor was there, you know, I tried to offer people respect, you know. And I also feel like that, too, that you have to be very, very careful because, you know, a religious institution is a corporation.
Right.
You know, there's people higher, there's people lower, and if you just live in that corporation, I feel that's about myself. I can't talk about you. Identify with your corporate position.
Yeah.
But when you go outside, people are not in that corporation.
Right.
So you have to be very, very sensitive not to take any role that they don't give you.
Exactly.
So, you know, I look at them as equals, but I think they, you know, when I discussed and the respect that Hema, Gora, and Otron were giving, the respect that they were giving, you know, they appreciated the knowledge that was disseminated. And I just saw, you know, here's this lady, she's the wife of a salesman, you know, lives across the street. But I guess they have some money, they flew to Europe, and she was an elementary school teacher. And when she came afterwards, she said, thank you so much for inviting me, you know. People want this. And I saw the thing about a small town also, as a big city, there's no competition.
Right.
There's probably not one yoga studio, it's like no competition. This was like the big thing in town for that person, except for the corn fest at the end of the month. I saw the banners, you know, at the end of the month, the corn fest. So, these places, but the professor explained to me, he said, look, you know, when we came here, because I'm retired, and my wife got a job here, you know, so we moved here, and initially we kept a house in Rochester and a house here, and we moved back and forth, and he was telling me we did that, he said, but now we're here, he said, because he described at a particular time, professors couldn't get jobs.
So they, you know, really qualified people wound up in all these small places. He said, wherever you go, if there's a university, there's an intellectual community. And he said, I have a daughter in New York. It's only 3 hours. Hey, me and my wife, the other day, we got an inspiration to go to the Washington Zoo. It took 2 hours. But I could just see that the, I was overwhelmed. And also in Washington, I told you, with 50 people at this program, you know, political activists, lawyers, you know, the reciprocation you get when you can increase someone's knowledge, and not just in a particular field, but of life, of practical perception in the world. And they're very open-hearted.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you. Then I'll continue doing this. If I want to rest now because this was much for me, but I mean, do more writing. But it was really wonderful. Thank you, Vasya.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna or anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Anastasia.
Anastasia, very nice. Good, you're.
Thank you very much.
Able to regularly hear again. You've stopped traveling for a while, or just?
Yes. I stopped for a while.
Okay, good. And I'm happy you appreciated that letter. I sent just a quick message back. Good.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anastasia. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Shastra, thank you.
Very good.
I got your letter on the spot. Anybody else? Okay. By God's grace, Krishna's grace, I have another program. I like the program here. It's at 11 o'clock. I think that's a good time for a program. All of America is doing it. I kind of joke. The people can come to the program and go watch the football game or something. But I call it the church program. So nice. You start at 11 o'clock. You speak for an hour and a half at kirtan, 2 hours. And then you have prasadam at 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then people have some spiritual experience. They sometimes like to stay later and just enjoy it, you know, and talk to you or something like that. And then the devotees are finished. They have the rest of the day. Rather than being taking prasad at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night and starting off Monday badly every time. Okay. Vanchakalpa Tribhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanayo Vaishnava.